श्रीमद्भागवतम चैप्टर 12 ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंटो टेक्स्ट 30 स एष लोके विख्यातः परीक्षित इति यत् प्रभुः पूर्वं दृष्टम् अनुध्यायन् परीक्षेत् नरेश्वयः। सो हियर सुत गोस्वामी इज नरेटिंग अबाउट Parikshit Maharaj. In the previous texts, the Brahmanas, Brahmana astrologers, have replied to Yudhishthira Maharaj by explaining elaborately how glorious a son Parikshit is going to be, and how glorious a king, how glorious a person he is going to be. And then they are told about his full life, and then they have been lavishly gifted by Yudhishthira, after which they have departed. So now, Suta Goswami is continuing the narrative. Sa esha loke vikhyatah. Sa esha, that person in this world, vikhyatah, will be famous as Parikshit iti yat prabhu. Parikshit. So his name is Parikshit, and here the word is Parikshit. The. So this is a verb which means one who examines. Parikshit iti yat prabhu, one who will examine others. He will be that kind of person. O king, Purvam drishtam anudhyayan. Purvam drishtam. That means what he has seen earlier. The word Prabhu can refer to various things. It can refer to a king. It can refer to a master. It can refer, if you consider Sutta Goswami speaking here, it can refer to him speaking to the Brahmanas, or it can be he in a third person sense is referring to Yudhishthira Maharaj thinking about this. Whichever way it is, the point is Purvam Drishtam Anudhyayan. What he has seen earlier, he will try to remember that. Parikshit Nareshvaiha. So he will examine and in trying to see what he had seen earlier, based on his remembrance, he will examine all human beings. Normally, there are many stories where, say, if it's a romance story, if a girl is rescued by a man, woman is rescued by a man, and that man mysteriously disappears, then that woman may want to find that man. Who was the man who came to my rescue at that time? Or if a small child is, say, rescued from some kidnappers or something like that, and there are stories of, say, something like Superman or someone who does rescue, and then that person disappears, and those who are rescued by them, by that unknown benefactor, the rescued always are eager. Can I meet my rescuer? Who is that rescuer? I would like to meet him again. I would like to see him. I would like to thank him. He was such a wonderful person. So that desire among the rescued to know the rescuing person is natural. To know the rescuer is natural. And what to speak of when the rescuer is not only so powerful and so heroically competent in rescuing, but is also very, very supremely attractive. And that rescuer is the Supreme Lord. That act of rescuing becomes an unforgettable impression in the heart, which drives a person repeatedly to search. Oh, where will I find this person? And in despair, in the longing to find a person like that, they keep searching throughout their lives. That's what has happened here to Parikshit, and he was constantly looking. Purvam drishtam anudhyayan, what he had seen earlier, he wanted to see again and again and again. Purvam drishtam, he remembered, and he wanted to see once again. And that's why every person that he would meet, he would look, oh, is it that person? Is it that person? Is it that person? And that's how he would try to move forward and keep looking for that unknown person who he had seen once, but who had been lost to him after that. Text 31. Saraja putro vavruddhe ashu shukla ivo dupaha apuryamanah pitrubhi काष्ठाभिर इवसो अन्वहम्। स राजा राजपुत्रो ववृद्धे। सो नाउ इन दिस वे ववृद्धे हि ग्रीव अपु राजपुत्र रॉयल प्रिंस। नाउ ही वाज विद द एयर अपेरेंट, he was actually the grandson of the king Yudhishthir, but for all practical purposes he was going to be the heir, so he was like his son itself. Ashu Shukla iva odupaham. So very soon Ashu is quickly, the child started growing rapidly. Shuk iva odupaha, odupaha is the moon, like the moon when it is Shukla Paksha. The Shukla Paksha is the phase of the waxing moon, Krishna Paksha is the phase of the waning moon. So in Shukla Paksha, this is the moon grows rapidly. At one point, just say 15 days before, it's a crescent. And then 15 days, it has grown to become a shining full moon. So like that, this child who was just an infant earlier, now he grew up rapidly.
Apuryamana Pitrubhi. Apuryamana.
So, the word Apuryamanam comes in the Bhagavad Gita, Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam, 2.17, the Bhagavad Gita, where it refers to the ocean being full and yet being further filled with water. So, here it means that he was so full with the love and care and attention that his royal grandparents were offering him, that he grew luxuriantly, Prabhupada uses the word over here. He grew very nicely.
Pitrubhi,
Pitrubhi, they were not exactly his parents, but they were acting as his parents. They were the parental guardians, as Prabhupada puts it.
Kashtabhir iva sovanvaham. Kashtabhir.
So, day anvaham is day after day. Kashtabhir is his development, preliminary development. Fully he was developing. He grew as an all-round person. Researchers have found that if a mother talks with a child, even during the pre-verbal phase, that means even before the child learns to speak, the mother talks, the child learns language much faster. But if the child is kept just in front of a TV with no one talking, when the child comes to the verbal phase, there is a pre-verbal phase and the child can't understand language, but still the loving presence of a mother and the loving attempt of a mother for conversation, that itself offers so much joy to the that solace of being loved, and that itself stimulates the brain cells and helps the child to grow. And then when the verbal faculty starts developing, the child learns language faster. This is of course a simple example of universal principle, simple example of how, say, research in psychology in brain imaging can confirm what we all know. When the children are loud, they grow faster, they grow better, even physically, even intellectually, they grow better. So here it is described that his plenary all-round development was happening under the parental guidance of Yudhishthir and his family.
So yakshamano ashwamedhena, text 32 is going on now. Gyatidroha jihasaya raja labdha dhano dadhyau nanyatra kardandayo yakshamano.
Yakshamano, desiring what? Ashwamedhena, he desired to perform Ashwamedha yajna.
Gyatidroha jigyasaya jihasaya.
So now I wanted to perform Ashwamedha Yajna to get free from the sins that he had committed, or at least Yudhishthira thought that he had committed sins. And as a way for atoning that, he wanted to do something virtuous. And the Brahmanas recommended that he perform sacrifice. So that was also his duty as a king. He had earlier performed a Rajasuya sacrifice. So a king cannot perform usually it is said that king cannot perform the Rajasuya sacrifice twice. So, now he thought, he had to perform the sacrifice, another sacrifice. So the Ashwamedha sacrifice was recommended now.
But then every sacrifice requires wealth. Raja labdha dhano dadhyau. Now he thought about how can I get the wealth. Now there was not much wealth. Nanyatra kara dandayo. Nanyatra. There was no other source of wealth apart from kara and danda. Kara is tax, danda is fine. So now law-abiding citizens give taxes, and law-breaking citizens, they're meant to give fines. So now with taxes and fines, with both of them, he got some amount of wealth, but still that was not enough, and that would be enough maybe for the royal treasury for its maintenance, but sacrifices were majestic affairs and they required a huge amount of wealth, and he would not get that much wealth by these means. So he wondered what to do. So then, now here Parikshit's narrative is more or less stopped, and Yudhishthir's narrative is going on. Of course, Parikshit's narrative came within the narrative's focus on Yudhishthir. It is Yudhishthir asking the Brahmanas and the Brahmana describing the illustrious qualities of Parikshit. But here, now from here onwards, the focus will be on Yudhishthir and what is happening in his vicinity. So again now, Yudhishthir was anxious about how to get wealth. So his brothers helped him, especially Arjuna. So text 33, tad abhipretam alakshya bhrataro achyuta choditaha dhanam praheenam ajaharur udichyam dishibhurishaha. So tad abhipretam, so keeping his desires in mind, alakshya, they observed. Now the brothers were vigilant. Now sometimes when a person has anxiety, and if we know that person well, we can know what is causing that anxiety to that person, even if that they don't tell us exactly, directly. So tad abhipretam alakshya. So he told them, they understood what was causing anxiety to Yudhishthir. And bhrataro achyuta choditaha. So his brothers, achyuta choditaha. Krishna, they consulted Krishna and Krishna guided them. Choditaha, Krishna instructed them. What should they say? Dhanam praheenam ajarur. Dhanam praheenam. To get the dhana, they went and brought it ajarur. From the ajarur is northern part. Ajarur is they brought jajarur. Udicham dishi bhurishaha. Udicham dishi. They went to the north and from there they got the abundant amount of wealth. Bhurishaha. So now Srila Prabhupada explains about Maharaj Maruta in his purport. So Maruta had performed great sacrifice, in which he had given such wealth that the Brahmins who had got the wealth, they had just left the much of the wealth there itself. And now it is described here that the Pandavas went and got the wealth. So that's how his concern for the wealth was mitigated. And then he could perform the sacrifice. This is also one of the reasons why Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya, one who got dhana. And moving onwards, text 34. Tena samvrita sambharo dharma putro yudhishthirah vajimedhai stribhirbhito yajnai samyajadharim. So, tena samvrita sambharo. So, tena, with this wealth which was acquired thus, Samrita Sambharu, he collected whatever ingredients were required. Dharmaputro Yudhishthiraha, who did this? Yudhishthir, who was the son of Dharma, that is, Dharma is also another name for the Lord of Justice, who establishes Dharma. Vajimedhai Stribhirbhito, Vajimedhai. So, Vajimedhi is similar as Ashwamedhi. So, it is the horse sacrifice. Stribhirbhito. Tribhir means three times. So normally in a Ashwamedha sacrifice, there is a particular amount of offerings to be given, particular way in which oblations are to be offered. So Yudhishthir did not just do that. Yudhishthir actually offered thrice of that. Tribhir, bhito. Bhito means he is still fearful. Now two, three chapters earlier, especially at the end of the 8th chapter, it is described how Yudhishthir was very fearful about the sinful reactions coming from the war. So here it is described that because he was still apprehensive, he decided to perform not just one Ashwamedha sacrifice, but three. Now, how did he do three? The Mahabharata describes that the Brahmins told him that if he would offer not the standard quantity of oblations, but he offered thrice the normal quantity of oblations, then that would be like his performing three sacrifices. And in that way, he could have his desire fulfilled. And this way, through the yajna, samyajat, properly he worshipped Harim, so Lord Hari. So now the Ashwamedha yajna can at one level be seen as a karmakanda sacrifice which kings perform to establish their imperial glory. But another level, the Vedic rituals, Vedaisya sarvai rahameva vedya. So this means that ultimately all the Vedic knowledge points towards Krishna, and also Vasudeva paramakaha, as it was said in the Bhagavatam first canto, that ultimately it is Vasudev who is to be attained through all the sacrifices. So if the intention is to worship Vasudev, then even these sacrifices can be performed with that intention. Understanding ultimately that this whole system of sacrifice is arranged by the Lord, and one can worship the Lord through these sacrifices. So with that understanding, when Yudhishthira performed these sacrifices, he actually samyadhari, properly worship and please Lord Hari. So the Bhagavatam explains that there is actually a beautiful correlation between the Vedic Karmakanda sacrifices and the principles and the practices of pure bhakti. And that correlation is, at one level, bahunam janmanam ante, after doing those sacrifices, one can gradually come to the level of pure devotional service. But another understanding is, devotees can do this, if they do it with exalted devotees do with exalted intention, then they set an example for society, and society can follow it both ways. Some people in society may follow it and do karmakanda, by which at least they will have some level of elevation in piety. And those who see the devotion with which these sacrifices are being performed, they will imbibe the mood of devotion. And thus, they will not only get piety, they will actually get spirituality. So, that's how this Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he did the sacrifices, the mood of devotion, he actually pleased Lord Hari. Text 35. Ahuto Bhagavan Rakyam Yajaitva Dvijayin Rupam Vachakatichin Masan Surudam Priyakam Yaya. Ahuto, he was given the invitation. Bhagavan Rajya, by the king, the Supreme Lord was invited. Yajaitva Dvijayin Rupam. Yajaitva. So, for the purpose of sacrifice, so that the sacrifice could be performed, Dvijayin Rupam, the king ensured that the king invited the Lord, and the Lord ensured that the sacrifices were performed by the proper Brahmanas. And then Uvasa means he resided. Vasa is to reside, so Uvasa means to reside at a particular place. Katichin Masan, for several months, for quite a few months he resided there. Suhrudam Priyakamyaya, because the citizens were his because he was the well-wisher of his citizens, of his devotees, of the Pandavas. So, Priyakamyaya, desiring to please them, desiring to do good for them, he stayed for several months. So, here now we see, Krishna has come back. The previous chapter, the 11th chapter, described Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. So, he was staying in Dwarka, but when Maharaj Yudhishthir announced that he was going to perform the Rajasya sacrifice, the Ashwamedha sacrifice in this case, then naturally he invited kings from all over the world were going to come, and whatever Yudhishthira did as a devotee, it was for the pleasure of the Lord. So he naturally wanted the Lord to be present. This is a prominent, foremost person. And the Lord came not only for the sacrifices, but he stayed on after that also, out of his desire to please his devotees, out of his love for his devotees. Surudam priyakamyaya priyakamyaya. So here the Bhagavatam brings the narrative back on the relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna, whereas the Bhagavad Gita and even the Mahabharata focus primarily on the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna. But Yudhishthira and Krishna also have a very close relationship, and Yudhishthira is the king, and Krishna always offers due deference to Yudhishthira as the king. And here Krishna loves to be with the Pandavas, and thus whenever there is opportunity the Pandavas invite him, and when they comes, then the Pandavas request him to stay for a long time, and he agrees to stay. He stays on over there. In text 36, tato rajya bhinu gyatah krishnaya sah bandhubhi yayau dwaravatim brahman sarjuno yadubhirvritah. Tato, therefore, thus, Ragya Abhyanuja Gyataha, after being permitted by the king, Krishnaya sa bandhubi, Krishnaya means by Dwarka also, sah bandhubi, along with other relatives, he started for Dwarka, Yatim, he went to Dwarka Brahman. Oh Brahmanas, he went there. Sarjuno Yadubhirvrita, along with Arjuna and some other members of the Yadu dynasty who had stayed with him. Surrounded by him, Avrita, he went back. So the Bhagavatam is now moving towards further description of things. So at this particular point, it is described that the focus comes to the close relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. That Krishna stayed on to be with the Pandavas, but Krishna and Arjuna, the relationship was so close that when Krishna was about to depart, Arjuna also went with him. And thus it said that he took the permission of Draupadi. That means Draupadi stayed back, but it was Arjuna who went with Krishna. And that is an indication of the proximity, of the intimacy of their relationship. And thus, it is explained that Krishna and Arjuna alone were together on many occasions. And for example, when they had burned the Khanda forest, at that time Krishna and Arjuna were on the outskirts of the forest when a tall Brahmin appeared, and that Brahmin said that he was actually Agni. And he requested that the Khanda forest be burned, and accordingly the Krishna and Arjuna together did what was required for them. So that was the first time Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. So that same close bond of love is continued on over here in the description of how Arjuna left with Krishna. So now at this particular point the Bhagavatam is going to shift again its narrative. That means what the Bhagavatam is going to do is that it focuses its narrative at different places on different occasions and on different characters. While the linear narrative of what happens, one event after another is talked about, but the narrative, the spotlight is not fixed in one place. So we see previously also, the spotlight at one point was on Krishna, the Bhagavatam. So it was Krishna's departure, then Krishna's arrival, Krishna's departure of Hastinapur, Krishna's arrival in Dwarka. And then after that, in this particular chapter, the spotlight has been on Yudhishthir. And it is said that, so if we consider, just like if we have a drama going on, then in a drama, say the scenes are depicted and each scene is set at a particular place, in a particular setting. And then what happens at that particular place is described. And after that, when the setting changes, then that means now the events which have happened in another place are going to be described. So normally, say if we are based in Mumbai, and then from the Mumbai's perspective, somebody comes to Mumbai, we say they are arriving. If somebody goes away from Mumbai, then we say they are departing. But say somebody is going to Vrindavan
And if we are from Vrindavan's perspective, we say that that person is arriving at Vrindavan. When they are departing from Mumbai, they are arriving in Vrindavan because they are going towards Vrindavan. So the point is that there are different frames of reference which where things will be focused on. So the Bhagavatam had its focus, had its lens focused on Dwarka during the last chapter, the 11th chapter. But that is the only time the Bhagavatam will, at least in this canto, that the Bhagavatam's lens will be focused on Dwarka. Throughout from now onwards, the Bhagavatam's lens is focused more or less on Hastinapur and what happens in Hastinapur. And we will see that now the next chapter will be talking about how Krishna departs from, how Dhritarashtra renounces the world. And that obviously happened in Hastinapur. So, Hastinapur and Indraprastha both were very glorious cities. And the Pandavas had made it, when they were ruling, at that time they had transformed Khandavaprastha into Indraprastha and it had also become a very glorious place. But still, the official capital of the Kuru dynasty was Hastinapur. And that's why after the Pandavas won the Kuru kingdom, Kuru throne, then they came back to Hastinapur. And they were ruling from Hastinapur. And here, the point that is made is, the point is that what has happened in Hastinapur is being described throughout or in its vicinity. So, the narrative that goes on, it started from the 7th chapter onwards, will go on largely focusing on Hastinapur. So, I just do a quick overview of the remaining canto or of this canto's flow. The 7th chapter was describing the attack of Ashwatthama and then he's being giving justice. All that happened on the just soon in the aftermath of the war. So, that probably happened in Kurukshetra and nearby. Then after that, the 8th chapter describes Kunti's prayers and Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation about the great bloodshed that happened in Kurukshetra. So that is also described in Hastinapur. That is when Krishna is about to depart from Hastinapur. The 9th chapter is Bhishma Pitama's prayers. Now this happens in Kurukshetra. Now Hastinapur and Kurukshetra are not all that far away. They are not close. They are nearby. So then it is described that So that 9th chapter happens in Kurukshetra, where Bhishma was lying on the arrow bed. So when he had fallen on the arrow bed, at that time, out of respect for him, there had been some Brahmins and some caretakers arranged to be around him. And the war had gone on elsewhere. The place where he had been was kept as it is. And his needs were taken care of. And further now, so there the Pandavas went after Yudhishthira war, so wore all royal ornaments to show that the cause of Dharma had won. And after that, the 10th chapter describes the activities of the Pandavas, activities in Hastinapur, where Krishna prepares to depart and Krishna does depart. Then, so there itself, in that chapter, also the focus is on Hastinapur in the vicinity. But when Krishna departs, the spotlight moves from Hastinapur towards Dwarka. So the 11th chapter is the only place where the spotlight is on Dwarka. 12th chapter, again the spotlight comes back to Hastinapur where Parikshit is about to be born. Or Parikshit is born as the chapter flows. And that is all happening in Hastinapur. 13th chapter also is in Hastinapur where Vidura comes back and gives instructions by which Dhritarashtra will renounce the world. Then 14th chapter and 15th chapter, they have an interesting way of looking at things. So 14th chapter is the disappearance of Lord Krishna, that is the title which Prabhupada gives for that chapter. And in one sense that event happens in Dwarka. But the Bhagavatam does not describe the event. The Bhagavatam describes the event as is recollected by or as is foreseen and recollected by the characters in Hastinapur. So first Yudhishthira feels on seeing auspiciousness that something has gone wrong and he thinks, could it be that Krishna has departed? And then after that, Arjuna tells what has happened. So the 14th chapter is also in Hastinapur. Then 15th chapter describes how the Pandavas renounce world, Pandavas retire timely. So that is also describing what happens in Hastinapur and of course how the Pandavas leave Hastinapur and depart. Then 16th chapter also 16, 17, 18, 19, all those chapters describe things happening related with the king of Hastinapur.
Now Parikshit, how Parikshit received the aid of Kali, that's the chapter. That describes a conversation which happens when Parikshit Maharaj is traveling in his kingdom, trying to supervise what things are happening over there. So that happens in somewhere in the vicinity of Kurukshetra. And 17th chapter also more or less happens in the same thing, yeah? Punishment and reward of Kali. The 18th chapter happens again. It's basically the spotlight is on the characters who are related primarily with Kuru, with the Kuru dynasty, with Hastinapur. So when he's in a hermitage of Shamik Rishi, how he inadvertently offends and then his curse that is described, and 19th chapter describes how he renounces. So basically the Bhagavatam spotlight stays on throughout on Hastinapur except for the 10th chapter last part and primarily the 11th chapter. So in the next chapter we'll continue and see how Dhritarashtra quits home. Thank you.